Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Excited to be in church tonight? I am too. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we got these squares now. We can really line things up just right. Amen. Even though they're not, but what's that? It's a grid. Yeah, it's like a big, it's a big graph paper here. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can move things around and kind of see how they fit other ways. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I had quite a day today. It's been interesting. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've got, I worked on 3 sermons and a funeral today. So I've got a whole lot, praise the Lord, in my heart, a lot coming on. But God is faithful. He comes through. Praise the Lord. And He helps us with all we got to get to. Glory to God. Tonight's message is called Overcoming Through Obedience. Praise the Lord. And we're just continuing on in that whole idea of following the plan of God. Amen. And really, tonight's focus, if you got the slick text, you kind of get an idea of what the kind of the direction the message is going to go. But tonight's message is really about consecrating ourselves to the things that God wants us to do. And, you know, that's not always easy on the flesh, is it? Praise the Lord. Sometimes you get direction. You get, I woke up with some attitude. Amen. I woke up with some things that I just didn't want to do. Amen. I got woke up with some, you know what those were? It was 3 services and a funeral. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But I woke up with some attitude and just some, you know, like just kind of just like, you know, just wanting my own thing and not wanting the thing that God wants me to do. And you know, as I decided to just kind of get up and get stirred a little bit, get the blood moving. As I did that, the Lord started dealing with me on some scriptures. Of course, that's how He always does it, right? He takes you to the scriptures and reminds you of the things He said. And then I'm going through it, and I'm like, yeah, I know that, but. Hey, I know that, but, you know, and it just left, you know, kept going and kept going and kept going. And finally, you know, finally ended up in Jonah. I'm not preaching out of Jonah tonight, but I just thought I'd share this with you because it's kind of interesting. You know, if you read about Jonah is a really interesting story. Jonah is a man of God, praise the Lord, and here's this man of God who God instructs him to do something, and he doesn't want to do it. And so he finds himself in a whole heap of trouble, doesn't he? He finds himself in the belly of a big fish, the Bible says. It doesn't say whale, it says big fish. Amen. And so Jonah finds himself in the belly of a big fish. Of course, he repents. What else would you do when you're being digested in the big body of water? Amen. Go to repentance because that's how you got to get yourself out of the trouble, right? Might as well. But, you know, you see as you read through the story, you see Jonah resisting the plan of God. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to deal with the Ninevites. He didn't want to get slapped with a fish. Praise God. If any of you watch VeggieTales, you know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. But I don't know if that really happened or not. But at any rate, if you haven't watched VeggieTales, you probably really should because that's just it's just good stuff. In fact, we need to pull those out and just watch them sometime. It's been a long time. Our kids are far past the VeggieTales age, amen. But anyways, Jonah's at the end there, you know, and he's even sitting up on a hill overlooking Nineveh, and he's waiting for God to destroy it because he was sure, you know, he was sent to go warn Nineveh, and he was sure that as he sat up there, he was going to watch the destruction of the Lord come because he was sure Nineveh wasn't going to be repentant. But of course, we know that Nineveh was repentant. And Jonah was sitting up there, and he got mad about it. And we even see the Lord do little things like he caused the plant to grow to shade him as he sat there stewing. And I just love that. I just love just like you could just see the personality of the Lord in that. You know, he's just sitting there, and this plant grows up, and then God causes the plant to die, and then he gets mad about it and stirred about it, of course. And basically, Lord rebukes him for being so self-minded and not minded on the things that he wants to do. Now, you know, there was a reason. Jonah obviously knew the Ninevites. He obviously knew something about them, maybe something that isn't revealed in Scripture. I don't know. But he knew things about them and he didn't like, you know, and he didn't want to have to go deal with them. You know, maybe they were just, maybe they were just a completely different kind of people and annoyed him or something like that or whatever it was. But, God will have us do. He'll send us places to do his work. And that's the thing that we have to understand is that we're here to do a job. We're here to do something for the Lord. Now, Now, God wants to bless us, and all that stuff is good, and we should know about that and have that solidified in our heart as we're going about things. Because, you know, quite honestly, as you're sitting up on the hill waiting for the city to be destroyed, sometimes you need the blessing to come. Amen. And that's exactly what that little plant was, I believe, is just a blessing of the Lord. But, you know, God wants to bless us, but he still has a plan for us to follow. But that our overcoming happens as we're obedient to those things. It happens as we're obedient to the Word of God. Amen. And so that's what we're getting into tonight. And I was corrected on it, but I knew that there were some things in here. Actually, I'm not really preaching any of the scriptures that the Lord dealt with me on, which is interesting, because I realized, I'm getting all these scriptures. I'm thinking, oh, great, here's the message. I'm going to put together the message for those people. Amen. And then as I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, this message is for me. To get my heart right, but God led us down a different way, you know. You know this, you might know this about me if you don't know this yet. You know, I'm a little bit different. I think I'm not a pastor the way pastors, I think, usually come about. I haven't, you know, I tend to be brutally honest, at least about myself, in the pulpit. And, you know, I say things that maybe other pastors won't, and I'm not quite as refined. And, you know, I haven't had the training that I've had training, but not, I didn't get like a 4-year degree in some seminary or something like that. And so, you know, there's a lot of things, and I don't apologize for any of that, because I know the calling of the Lord on my life. Amen. But, you know, it's interesting to me as as we look through scripture, and there's just some things on my heart, so let me share them if you don't mind. But as we look through scripture, we see all kinds of different characters, don't we? We see all kinds of different people being used. We see all different kinds of people that, different attitudes. And if you look again, like you can see Jonah's attitude, but we don't want to condemn Jonah, you know, because the truth of the matter is they all these different personalities represent us in some way. Amen. And so in our imperfections, in their imperfections, we can see our imperfections. And what we get to understand is that God has a sense of humor. But he also uses all these things, and he brings them together somehow. And maybe we don't understand how he does it. Maybe we don't quite get how he does it or how he's going to do it, but he does. And so one of the things is that it actually can cause you to smile if you think about it. When you look around in the room and you see somebody else in the church, and maybe they're completely opposite of the kind of person you are, maybe completely different personality or whatever, but the Lord wants to use them as he wants to use you. And not only does he want to use them and you, but he wants to use you together. Amen. And that's the awesome thing. You know, I don't know as though the scripture really tells us how Jesus sent out the 12, other than that he sent them out 2 by 2. But I don't know it really said, you know, did Peter and Matthew go together? You know, we don't know exactly how it looked as they went out. And so, you know, it's interesting because you got people from totally different backgrounds, but the same cause. And that's what should drive us, bring us together. Amen. And so, we overcome. The thing was, is I was, you know, when I was dealing with some of this stuff and the things, you know, I was joking about some of the things that I was talking about that I was dealing with, but some of the things that I was fully dealing with, you know, as I was in my bad attitude, having my, it was really oppressive on me. And one of the things that I had, to the point where I was physically feeling it, like I was, you know, my stomach was churning. I was, you know, not because I was ill, like a physical illness, but just the dread of having to do something. And then it went from the dread of having to do something to the dread of knowing that I'll probably have to do these things again. To the dread of knowing that this is, you know, that some things that we're called to in life aren't fun to do. Some of the things that we're called to do aren't enjoyable on the flesh. And yet we'll be called to do these things. You know, sometimes maybe you'll be called to witness to somebody out there on the street and everything in you will not want to do it. Everything in you will want to turn. But you know, that witness that God has you, that God might have you do may be the turning point in their life. And so, God knows this, and that's exactly what he was showing me through the through when I was reading it. I really just read the end of Jonah. I didn't read the whole book this morning, but he was showing me is that, you know, even though that we're resistant to things, God wants to do something, and it's so important to him that we do it. Now, because of the things he's done for us, we need to be obedient to him, amen? And so, but God has promised us victory, he's promised us good things, and that comes through us being obedient. So why don't we go ahead and turn to Colossians 3:17. glory. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:17. It says here, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It doesn't give us an exact what to do, but it does say whatever you do. And then it covers it in word or deed. So pretty much anything you can do is either something you can say or something that you can physically do, amen? Something you can act on. And so it kind of covers it all, but it says, you know, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, do it in a way that you could put his stamp of approval on it, amen? You know, one of the real good litmus tests for figuring out whether or not what you're doing is acceptable to God is you ask yourself, could I do this with Jesus? Or could I do this with Jesus present? Or would I do this with Jesus present? Amen? You know, it's the same thing whether it's watching a movie or videos or whatever or looking at anything, you know, it's the same thing. Would I do this? Would I watch this if Jesus were sitting here with me? Amen? And, of course, we're not just talking about that, but everything that we do, you know, when we go about life, when we work, when we just go about our should have a focus in us. It should be ingrained in us that we should have a focus on the Lord, that our heart is to be pleasing and to be helpful to the things that he things he wants us to do. Amen. And so whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, even when you have to do something that you want to do, we need to do it as unto the Lord, right? Even when you're doing something that you just despise, something that, you know, in your flesh is just complete opposite, and God will lead you there, just like he's led me there. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're going to preach or anything like that, but there's things that God will have us do that will test our flesh. But we need to do it in such a way where we're not grumbling and complaining, but we need to do it in a way where we're rejoicing. Because we know that God, you know, and that's exactly the opposite of what Jonah does or did. You know, he was complaining about it the whole way. And even afterwards, he was mad about it. He was mad that he had to do it. But God has purpose in these things. But we have to remember that God's purpose in these things aren't just single fold. They're not just for one person or for us. But they generally, if God has us do something, it blesses the multitude of people. And I love that because it really, you know, I've always talked about it and kind of God's blessing is kind of a compound blessing. You know, that God is not just a single person blesser. He's a multiple person blesser. But what we see in that is that it's not just meant to even bless those two, but it extends beyond that. It's kind of starts, whenever God does something, it kind of starts a chain reaction of events, amen? It's kind of the domino effect throughout the area, and, you know, we look at this, even this church, of course, this church has blessed many people's lives here in Mayville, praise the Lord, and it will continue to bless people's lives in Mayville, but look how it's, you know, how we've reached out, and we've expanded that to Cory, Pennsylvania, and we're reaching, you know, people there, and we're helping people there, and think about the people that they will go out and help and do the same things, because this should continue on, and you see how it just keeps expanding and expanding, and that's how God takes ground. Amen. God doesn't just come in with a Holy Ghost tank and just, well, I should say, he does kind of come in with a Holy Ghost tank. That's a church. But he doesn't just come in with, the angels and knock everybody over and say, I'm taking this ground back from Satan. But no, what does he do? He fires us up. He stirs us up. He gets us going. He gets us trained. He gets us hooked. He gets us connected. Praise the Lord. He does all these wonderful things. And then he blesses us. He pours out into our lives. And then what does he do? He sends us out into the world. He sends us to other people, praise the Lord. And what a wonderful way that God, you know, God didn't just say, I'm just gonna do it. He said, I'm gonna do it through you. So he's gonna include you. And the reason that he includes you, do you know what that is? Because he doesn't need to include you. But he does include you. And the reason he includes you is because God wants to bless you too. Because God knows the way his blessing works is that when you are obedient, you open the door to your life to things that you couldn't have ever had before. You open to you, and I'm not just talking about stuff or whatever, but praise God for all kinds of things. You know, I'm going to give you a little example. I probably never thought that I'd be giving this example from the pulpit, but I'm going to give you this example. On Sunday after I got out of church, my brother started texting me. You know, if you don't, my brother Jim, my older brother, he's a big hunter. He loves to hunt. And, you know, I've been threatening to hunt. I even got my hunting license and stuff, bought a few clothes and talked about it and stuff. And he reached out to me and he said, are you going to come up? Because we had talked about maybe coming up. I wasn't going to go out opening day because I preached that night and stuff and stuff. And so I wanted to make sure that I was ready for it and stuff. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I didn't really want to go, to tell you the truth. There was part of me that really wasn't feeling like it. I just wanted to be home and stuff. And so I went out and I decided to do it. My wife, of course, was gracious, and I decided to go out for my first time deer hunting. I have been bear hunting before, but that was more like hopeful bear sitting was more what it was. Praise the Lord. But nothing came of that. So I never saw. I saw a big fat porcupine on that trip, but that was huge. I'd never seen anything like that big. I almost thought it was a bear. It was such a big porcupine. Maybe it was a bear. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I saw a bear and thought it was a porcupine all this time. I'm just kidding now. But, you know, when it was amazing to me because I went down. He has this blind, and it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't rugged hunting by any means. It was he has a nice blind, and we went and sat in it and stuff. And no, praise the Lord. And I didn't end up getting anything. I saw something at the very last minute. It was a lot of fun, but you know, as I was coming away from there, I was just so filled with just joy. And excitement, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, I haven't felt this way in a long time. I mean, I feel alive. I felt like, you know, and it wasn't the hunt, but the point that I'm trying to make is that some things started stirring in me to kind of get this process to this point. This is something that the Lord opened up to me, and I never thought, you know, now if I never did it again, which I will do it again, but if I never did it again, that's just an example of God giving me a moment in time, you know, as we serve him, as we follow him, that he'll just open things to you, open doors to you that you didn't even know were things that could possibly bless you or things that would cause enjoyment in your life, you know. And in a time where, you know, it's super busy, you know, I started off this week, I had all kinds of plans for this week. You know, things I was going to get done and things I was going to get ready for Thanksgiving and stuff like that. But as it turned out, the way the week turned, and nothing bad, but the way the week turned, it ended up being not possible to do really any of those things. Amen. And so the week kind of just changed on me. And all of it was related to the ministry. All of it's related to things that we do for the ministry. And, you know, and that's the thing about ministry. There can be days where it's, where there's nothing going on at all. I mean, some of you have even said, you're like, you know, you got anything going this week? I'm like, no, it's completely open. And then by the middle of the week, I've been so busy, you know, or sometimes I have weeks that I have nothing to do. But then I have times where it doesn't stop 24 hours a day. And you know, that's kind of the flow of ministry. So if you see me in the middle of the day and I look like I have nothing to do, it's not because I'm just being lazy. I'm just taking moments when I get a chance, amen? But the point that I'm trying to make in this is that even in that, even while we're busy with the Lord, even while we're busy doing things, God loves us so much and he cares that you are joyful. And that's why he gave us the ability to have joy regardless of what we're doing in life. If we're following his plan, if we get into his plan, he wants to open doors to us and give us. He'll give us days. He'll give us trips. He'll give us people. He will give us things. He'll do things around us that we just can't even comprehend. That just all of a sudden they'll be there and things will come together. He'll stir things in you and you won't even know where it is coming from a lot of times. You know, I'm 44 years old and thought about it before, but never really, made a move to do any of these things. I could have at any point. My family, I have a bunch of hunters in my family and stuff like that. And so this is just one example of how God, will bless us and do things. And you may be saying, I would want nothing to do with that. Well, that may be so, but God will lead you into ways that will bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the idea of saying all this is not to get you so minded on, what's God going to do for me? Because really, we need to just put that out of our mind. I mean, you can get excited about it, don't get me wrong, but we need to put it out of our mind and just say, Lord, what do you have for us? Because, the one of the greatest things, and this is, I'm sitting there with my brother for, we were out there for, a few hours, about 2 hours or so roughly. And for all of that time, most of that time, we just sat there was nothing going on. But I was just looking out, and I love the outdoors anyway, so I was just sitting there looking out the outdoors, at the stuff, and getting being blessed being out there, and I was just at peace. And that's one of the greatest things that God has put in my life through following him is it literally his peace. A peace that, if we stay with our eyes focused in the right area, that peace doesn't change. That peace will continually feed us and bless us, and it'll stir in us. And, even this morning as I was woke up on the wrong side of the couch, praise the Lord, it wasn't because I was in trouble. My wife and I, we sleep about half the time on the couch because we just like to. We always have. Probably because when we were first living together and stuff, I don't even think we had a real bed. It was like, we spent a lot of time sleeping on the couch. We like the couch, but we sleep with our heads together. So we got big, so we put our heads together so we can, so we're still close, Praise the Lord. But as I woke up, and was just in a bad mood and just kind of worked up and just bothered by, just my own ideas of things. Because the way God will have you step out will be in ways that aren't you, are ways that aren't your preference. Amen. He's going to test your flesh. He's going to put you through things. He's going to allow you to go through things that make you kind of cringe sometimes. Amen. And I could go into so many stories. There's things that God has dealt with me on, and he showed me in the lives of other people, things I can't even share from the pulpit. But he's just showed me so many things, and he's like, this is why, and this is why, and this is why, and this is where, and never points out, if God's pointing out where someone else missed it to you, I'm just going to give you a clue right now. It's never in a way to condemn them, but it's a way to teach you. So it's never for you to, if God points out a way for that somebody else has missed it, he isn't pointing it out to say, you can look at them and look down on them now. No, he look at this and avoid these type of things. Amen. And so God has shown me these things. And this morning as I went through the word and I got in the word, because I had to be faithful to do that. I went to the word. I went to see what God had to say about it. And as I did that, the peace of God came back to me. And then the grace of God came back to me all in that moment. And so then I was able to go and do the things that I needed to do, which if you understand, again, my process of doing things, the reason I like to talk about that is to remind people that I'm not somebody who was born to do this in the sense that I had all the equipment to pastor and to do it well and all those things, and that there was things in my life that would look quite the opposite of that, but it's what God does in you. And you have to understand that, because as you go to the Lord, you have to understand it's not you that's going to do it. And if you realize that it's not you that's going to do whatever it is God has you do, then you can start realizing that you have a grace, which is an ability to do that. God's grace will rest upon you, and he will make those hard places easy. But the key is those hard places made easy will be found in your obedience to follow his plan. Amen. Glory to God. And I love it because, as I stand before my churches, as I stand before people and minister, I look out and I see all kinds of different backgrounds. I see all kinds of different faces and different, and I even can see on your face sometimes. Sometimes people's faces will say, that's not me. I'm not ever going to do that. But you got to remember, I was one of those people too. I was one of those people that sat there and said, that's not me, you know, whatever it was. And so just be obedient. Learn to be obedient. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. Do it for his glory. Say, you know, I just go back to the Lord and I say, Lord, I struggle with you. I'm real with God. You know that? I hope you are too. If you go before the Lord, listen, you need to be able to go before God and just be open with him. You go, but Lord, I struggle in this area. I have a hard time in this area. In fact, I'll just be honest with you, God. I don't even want to do this. There is no part of me that wants to do this. I will be obedient to you, but I just want you to know I don't want to do this. And I need you to help me with these things. I need you to strengthen me with these things. Amen. And guess what he'll do? Just that. But see, there's trust that has to be built there. You have to believe him. You have to trust in him. Amen. You have to trust what he wants to do. You have to trust that he has a plan for your life, and that plan that he has for you, that he's already overcome the obstacles that you need to overcome. And so when you get to those obstacles, it isn't a matter of you. See, we get to the obstacles and we think, oh man, now I got to overcome this. How am I going to get over that? But see, what the Bible teaches us, what the Spirit teaches us is when we get to those obstacles, we ain't got to overcome nothing. We just look to the one who knows how to overcome, or the one who already has overcome. Because Jesus said, I have already overcome. I've already defeated the enemy. See, the enemy is already defeated. But Christians, so often we don't have the clue. We don't get that fully in us, that because we see the opposition, and the opposition to us looks big. The opposition to us is opposing. It's coming against us, amen? It's looking at us and saying, you can't overcome me. And you're right. You could even say to the opposition, you're right, I can't overcome you. But the one who's on the inside of me now, the new creation that I've been made, praise the Lord, that can overcome you. Not just can overcome you, but is about to overcome you. So hang on to your pants because you're about to lose something, amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. There, you know, God has infused us with the Holy Ghost power. The Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave dwells in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave. Now, Jesus wasn't just in the grave. Jesus, when he died, he went to hell. A lot of people don't understand that, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. That Jesus went to hell and he spent some time down there, right? But that same power reached into the depths of hell, the very worst place that it could possibly be, and it pulled Jesus, strengthened him, pulled him up, and brought him and sat him on the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Bible says that same power is on the inside of you. It's on the inside of me. That ain't so bad. And so when you start understanding, see, that's why the word is so important. That's why keeping the word before us is so important. Keep it in the midst of our eyes and in our ears. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Amen. God looks at us affectionately. He looks upon our lives. And we just bless him just for being alive. And we didn't even do anything to get there, but it blesses God. You know that. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5. You know, and I want to say this too. You know, there's some parts of Christianity that kind of really, and I believe it's important to preach about repentance and to preach and to teach about hell and to teach about things like that, you know, and that God is a just God and that he does judge. But we know that God judges absolutely fairly. And so often we're the ones that want to pass the judgment. You know, when we start deciding, when we start deciding right and wrong in someone else's life, that's when we start passing judgment. You know, but when you reflect on Nineveh, they were doing some evil things. But even in the midst of that, God sent someone to them who could help them. He sent someone to them to speak to them because God had a heart for them. So even though that God is a just God and he will judge, and there's times where judgment comes on the earth, God is not pouring out judgment in our lives. He is not looking to just judge us. God was looking to set us free. If it wasn't so, Jesus wouldn't have come to set us free. Jesus would have come to pass judgment because he had every right to do that as well. But that's not what Jesus came for. He came to set us free. But we have to be willing to walk in that freedom. Now, that doesn't give us a freebie, a free pass. It means we can just go do whatever we want. And that's the other side of things. We need to follow the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, when I started seeing this, you know, there's a lot of things the Bible talks about the end times. And when it's talking about the end times, there's a lot of examples that shows you how the people will be. You know, but that doesn't change the plan of God. That doesn't change the desires of God's heart. That doesn't change what he wants to do, amen? And so we need to be people that are willing to follow instruction, but also walk that plan out with faith, a certain measure of faith. You know, there's a lot of opposition coming. I just wanted to say this. You know, we asked for some faith fix questions, and exactly the questions that we got are the reason why we do the faith fixes this way. We got, what, 3-4 questions, something like that, that came in, maybe 5 questions, so that doesn't give you a pass. But every single one of them were like, I'm looking at them like, these are phenomenal pastoral questions. These are the type of questions that help people. And so even if you knew the answer to them, just the fact that you asked the question, I see the gift turn on. My wife answered one of them today, amen. Praise the Lord, went out today, right? Yeah, praise God. And so, it's just so exciting to see that happen. But the questions are just, you know, they might seem mundane or even something that's not a very good question to you. But you understand this, if you're thinking about it, probably somebody else is. Amen. Or at least it'll help stir them in another way. That's free, no charge. But 1 Thessalonians 5:3, it says, for when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now, you know, I was talking with last week when I was with my pastor, and we were having a conversation about things. You know, he quoted the scripture to me, and he used it in a way that I had never really used it or heard it used before, but it was very true. You know, when they say, when they're saying peace and safety, I always thought maybe it just meant that there was peace, when they're saying there is peace and safety. But that's not what it's saying. He was talking about how when people are crying out for peace and safety, amen? And they're looking, you know, and that's what we see going on in this world today. We see people saying peace and safety, but what we see them doing is not peace and safety. It may seem safe, but it's not really, because it hasn't really changed anything. The peace certainly isn't there. Amen. So we see that. And this is talking about people of the world. When they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But listen to this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. So we shouldn't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes, when God comes to redeem the earth, when he comes to collect the saints and judge the earth, praise the Lord, when that happens, that shouldn't overtake us unaware. Like, we shouldn't be like, but you know, I think there's a lot of Christians, when it comes to this point, they are going to be surprised. Well, wait a minute, what's going on? You know, praise the Lord. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. I love the imagery that the Bible uses here. The Bible is pointing to being light. What do we know that light does? Light illuminates, right? Light makes things able to see what's going on. You know, we reach for a flashlight when it's dark. We're looking in a corner. You see things a lot better. Have you ever tried to do anything in the dark? Praise God. And then you finally go get a flashlight because you realize it. And then you're like, I wish I would have done that all along. Amen. But the Bible looks at us. The Bible points to us and says that we are sons and daughters of the light. We are children of the day. Amen. Glory to God. And so that should be eye-opening to us. We are not, you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now, I want to point to a few things here that were really interesting to me, that really stood out. Number one, back there in verse 8, it says, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, again, as we all talk about hope, I always want to remind you that hope in the Bible is expectation, the expectation of salvation. And if it just said that, we might think, you know, oh, well, the expectation of when we're saved from eternal damnation or death. But that's not what it's talking about. In verse 9, it goes on and clarifies it more. It says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, amen, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What we understand here is this. Well, of course, if you look in the Strong's Concordance and look up the word salvation, it means preservation, it means safety, it means protection, it means all of these things. There's like all the things that we that kind of the similar things to what peace means, that encompasses all of these things. It means deliverance. Praise the Lord. We say there's deliverance. We just sang that, right? There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, and that's what it's talking about here through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are to obtain. God did not appoint us to wrath, to live in wrath, to live in a place of internal struggle, of being lost, of not knowing. If you're in that place, that's not what God has appointed for you. Salvation didn't just buy you a ticket into heaven. It bought you a ticket here on earth. It bought you a ticket away from wrath and brought you into God's salvation. We are to obtain God's salvation while we're here because he died for us. And in context, this is talking about while we're here. The day should not overtake us. We shouldn't be surprised at what God's doing. We should know, but you're not going to know if you're not sold out to it. If you're so distracted by everything else that's going on, if we're so distracted by viruses and pandemics and elections and you know who's doing this and who's doing that and cities burning, all this. Listen, we're supposed to pray for all those things, but none of those things should move us. If those things are moving us into a place of pain and suffering, that's a place of wrath. That's not a place that God has for us. God has peace for his children. We are children of the light. We need to be able to see what's going on. We need to be have our eyes open to what's actually happening. We need to see that there's, you know, actually the Lord has brought an ability in me at times to have compassion on some of the people that I most vilely hated. Yes, it's amazing. You'll do that. Like all of a sudden, I'm looking at people and I want to pray for, you know, like you look at people in politics and it's easy. If you're one-sided or if you're strong, you know, whatever, it's easy to look at them, to look at the other side and get mad about it. But God has not called us to wrath. He's called us to look at it and to have compassion and to have pity on people and to pray for them, to lift them up in prayer. Because if we aren't lifting them up in prayer, they have no hope. They're just like the Ninevites. We have no hope. They're not doing it. They don't know what they're doing. And if they do, then we can pray against it. But, you know, the point is that the Lord will give you compassion for those that you never wanted to have compassion on. But you have to be willing to. You have to be open. You have to be willing and open to the idea that God may use situations to move things around in the kingdom of God. That things don't have to be. You know, I love my pastor said this, and he's so true. He said, most people pray instead of voting as a prayer. Right? Did I say that right? Most people vote as a pray as a voter. Yeah. They're like we can't do that. We have to be more than that. Amen. Now that doesn't mean that we look at situations, you know, we can't look at things and, you know, and have discussions about them. Of course, that's good, but we can't be overcome by things that are carnal, things that are on the earth, things that will burn up and pass away. We can't be moved by that. You know what I mean? One person's going to do this, one person's going to do that. All people are going to do different things. None of that matters to the child of God. The only thing that matters to the child of God is, are you following God? Because God didn't appoint you to wrath. And so he can lead you out of it. He can lead you into a place of blessing if you'll follow him. And when he leads you into a place of blessing, it will also draw other people in with you. It will pull those closest to you. It'll pull those around you. It'll make you, you'll have influence on people. And it'll draw you into a place of safety with others with you, others in tow. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And we thought just getting mad and arguing about it. Amen? We'll do it. Philippians 2:12 and 13. I love these scriptures here. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Work out literally means to perform or accomplish or achieve, to do that from which something results. There's another way of saying it. To do that from which something results. So in other words, we're supposed to do our salvation with the expectation of results. And do it in such a way that there is results. That your salvation wasn't just bought and paid for you, that you got to get into heaven, but you take that salvation. See, salvation is a process, if you want to look at it like that. Now, getting into heaven is not a process. You're not going to earn your way into heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. So, you know, don't let anybody twist my words or anything like that. But salvation here on earth is a process. Daily salvation, daily deliverance, all these things, it's a process. Now, the Bible says that we are saved, but we have to walk in that. We have to work in that. We have to find out what that means. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so as we walk out our salvation, we see the plan unfold, the plan of God unfold. And we've been talking a lot about that, right? What does working out your salvation look like? Praise God. These next scriptures are going to give us an example of it. And so the next scriptures we're going to get into are going to kind of get into these things. Amen? Now, I want to say this too. This is an example in scripture. And we have to remember, all scripture, while it is good to teach us, while it is helpful for us, all scripture was written to someone else, right? And what I mean by that is this. When Paul was writing these letters to the different churches or to the different pastors, when Paul was writing, he was addressing and dealing with specific situations. So sometimes when we look at the scriptures, what we're looking for is we're looking for the principle or the idea of what God is trying to say or how he's trying to help them. Amen? Glory to God. So turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:10. And we're going to see this principle and what walking out salvation looks like. Because I know you all wanted to know. This is Paul. Now remember, the letters to Timothy are literally, they're letters to a pastor who is dealing with the opposition in his spirit. He wants to give up. He's dealing with the oppositions, the hardships of being a pastor, the hardships of being in ministry, stuff like that. And Paul's encouraging him out of that. So in other words, he's talking, you know, just as he said to the Philippians, he's teaching Timothy how to walk out his own salvation. Amen? Now, the plan of God is found in walking out our salvation. So the ideas aren't separate. Amen? And so as we do this, as we put this to practice, what we'll find out, or what we'll find, is that plan of God will step by step be revealed to us more and more every day. I find out more every year that I go. I found out more about the plan of God for my life. I start sensing, I start seeing more. And all that isn't always a clear picture, but I know that there's more. And God has more for us every single day. Amen? Aren't you glad that God didn't want to leave us stale? Nobody likes stale bread, do they? Well, the French do. They make French toast out of it. And then it's pretty good. But that's because they're trying to make it unstale. They're trying to take the staleness away from it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But nobody likes stale bread. Well, maybe some people do, but they're weird. Some people like, you know what I mean? But people like flat pop and stuff like that. I mean, they just, yeah, look. I know my wife likes flat pop. She does. Oh. Ugh. 2 Timothy 3:10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So what's the principles? We're not going to Antioch. We're not going to Lystra, right? We haven't necessarily carefully followed Paul. He's talking specifically to Timothy, right? He said, you have carefully done these things. But this is the point that we should know. We should carefully follow the doctrine, the manner of life. In fact, I love that manner of life because one of the things that in the family churches, the pastors at least, as we talk, one of the questions that comes up a lot is, what did Jesus do? What did the disciples do? How did they respond? You know, when we look at like, how do you respond? Because sometimes you look at scripture and say, well, I want to get to the understanding of this, but to get to the understanding of this, we have to understand what they did with it. How did Jesus, I go back to this, I've been going back to the Lord showed me this, I've been keep going back to it. Jesus lived and operated under one of the most evil governments that ever existed. Far greater in evil than the one that we live in today, or the one that exists today, amen? And so with that understanding, we look at how did Jesus navigate through life? He wasn't overly concerned about it, was he? He wasn't overly concerned with what was going on. There was a lot of things that were going on. In fact, we see that different places that Jesus went. There was direction. But even like, it was mind-boggling to me to think of at the pool of Bethesda and seeing the one man. Now, there was many people there, but he went to the one man and offered that man the healing. And you have to ask yourself, why? And see, when you start asking yourself questions like that, you can start getting to the bottom of how God moved. And you look at the things that he said to the man, the woman at the well. What did he say to her? How did he deal with her? How did he look upon her? You know, was this an isolated incident? Did this kind of stuff happen all over? You start looking at these things and putting them together, and what you start getting is a pretty good narrative of what's going on in Scripture and the heart of God behind all of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so that's like looking at the manner of life of Paul. Now, of course, we can't look into it other than what we have written here, but this is a pretty good, this will keep us busy till Jesus comes. Amen? His purpose. Paul left everything and he went to the plan of God. Left it all behind. Amen? His faith. This movie that came out, The Apostle Paul, we watched it with such excitement, well, until we started watching it. And then we were like, this is so ridiculous. That's not the Apostle Paul of the Bible. They made him look like a sniveling sniveling wuss that was, every man, woman of God, especially good ones, are going to go through times of opposition, times where they feel like quitting. But Paul wasn't hopeless. We see that because after the man was beaten, he's still praising God. When he's beaten and thrown in the inner prison, the story, the account tells us that he was praising God in that place. Amen? And so he wasn't sitting there, I don't know if God is going to come through for me this time. It makes me mad when I see movies like that. That's like, Christian movies, sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. Amen? But notice what it says here. Paul, we know, if you study the scriptures, if you just study the things that Paul went through, you cannot say that the man had an easy way of going. He was opposed everywhere he went. He was beaten, thrown in prison over and over and over again. He was shipwrecked. He was, all these kinds of things, right? But then what does he say here? And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. God didn't leave any. Now, in fact, the only time, and it was very similar to Christ, the only time that it looks like the Lord didn't deliver him was when he was martyred in the end. But the Lord told him that that was part of the plan. That wasn't easy on Paul's flesh. Now listen, Paul, I dare say that probably there's no martyrs in this room. I'm just guessing, but probably none of you are called to martyrdom. That, I'm not prophesying that over you, but I'm just kind of setting your mind at ease, right? Praise the Lord. But Paul knew he was. And what did he do? He pressed. He was the one that says, I press on toward the goal. I press on, because he knew that God was with him. Even I love the account of Stephen. When you read about Stephen and he's getting stoned, he's so bold. He's got the boldness of God on him. He's standing there, and the Bible says they pick up stones and start throwing them at him. And what's he do? He looks up into heaven, and I'm convinced that Stephen never felt one stone, because he was so connected to what God was doing, and that God just, his attention was on him. In fact, you see that there. That's one of the reels I want to watch when I get up there. I mean, you got a playlist on Netflix, one for heaven, praise the Lord, and that's at the top of them. Amen. Praise the Lord, glory to God. Because it's amazing to me. It will keep us busy. We'll get to watch reruns and all that stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. That continuing is such an important thing. There are so many times where just walking this out, you're going to feel like quitting. Just going to be honest with you. I ain't holding it back. I probably feel like quitting at least several times a week. And I ain't joking. But we, thank God, I am not my feelings. Thank God, God has given me the grace. Listen, if it were up to me, I would have quit last night and I'd been on my way to Arizona or New Mexico or something out west, at least for a little while, until I got bored with that and I'd be moving somewhere else. But see, God doesn't, but what God has given me, what he's put in me, is stronger, is bigger than that. And so I'll just visit sometime, and I'll be okay with that. But right now, we've got work to do, we've got a plan to do, and we need to embrace that and rejoice at it. And the rejoicing in it is not just this fake rejoicing, oh, this really stinks, but I'm just going to sit here and rejoice anyways. No, you will feel things, but the point is as you rejoice, it's just like Stephen. God lifts you up. He brings you up out of that place of miserable not ableness, and he puts you in a place of fully able, fully capable, and fully blessed. Amen? No matter what's going on around you. I love that. Glory to God. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. But evil, like, listen, he isn't telling us that so we look at this and go, I think I'm going to skip this scripture in my reading next week. You know what I mean? I'm just going to, Pastor, just read over that quickly. That's not what he's telling. He's saying, yes, these things, it's just like Jesus. These things are going to happen. But what did Jesus say? Be of good cheer, because I've already overcome it. Don't worry about it. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Paul already gave us that ahead of time. Amen. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you what? Wise for salvation. Through what? Faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You can't have faith apart from Christ Jesus, but with him you can have all the faith that you need. And if you stay to the scriptures, see, that's exactly what happened with me this morning. I go back to the scriptures. God points me and directs me to the right scriptures. Things stir in my heart. I think it's a message for you. Realize it's a message for me. Sets me free. Praise the Lord. I can stand here tonight and preach a message. Go tomorrow. Do the things I have to do to tomorrow at the funeral and take care of that and be a blessing there. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then Saturday and Sunday, I'll be able to do that. And I'll probably even be able to have some fun in the meantime. Amen. Glory to God, because this is how God is. See, God enables us. He equips us. He makes us able. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And then it goes on to say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Reproof, by the way, is what I was getting this morning. For correction, which is also what I was getting this morning. For instruction in righteousness, praise the Lord, which I got back on this morning. Praise the Lord, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God's intent is that we are fully equipped for every good work. That's why we have this. This right here fully equips us for everything we must do. And so if we embrace it as such, what we find out is that truth. It becomes real to us. Amen? Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Praise God. You cannot be confident in your own way. Just think about it, just from a natural perspective. You know you can't. Because times in your life where you made decisions based out of your own ideas, where you were like, maybe it's right, maybe it's not. You know how many times I've been asked that? We've just talked about marrying right and how you can absolutely know how to marry right. You can. You can absolutely know how to marry right and never have to get divorced. You can absolutely, that is something you can absolutely do. It's not hard. Praise the Lord. If you follow the word, it'll help you. Praise the Lord. It'll put you in that position. But you can absolutely do it. You know how many times I've said stuff like that and people like in my family or something is like, how can you know? Because we have the word of God. Because we have truth. Praise the Lord. We can know things others can't know. And they won't even know how we'll know. They won't understand that we know, but we do know. And that's all that we need to know. Amen? Don't cast away your confidence. Your confidence is not in you. Cast you away. Your confidence is in him. Don't cast away your confidence. And that's what he's talking about. Your confidence was built in something other than you, which is God. And that confidence has great reward. Look how many times, I mean, just in the past couple of weeks. I mean, take note of this. How many times we'll read scripture and you'll hear things like great reward, exceedingly, abundantly. We'll hear blessed. We'll hear all these. I mean, as you go through scripture, whenever I hear these things, they pop out at me. Like God is not a God who's trying to remove from us. He's a God who's only trying to get into our good things into our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you cannot be confident in your own way. Amen. And you have to know that. Okay, so we're getting ready to close here. Let's go to the last set of scriptures, Isaiah 1. I love, 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 love the book of Isaiah. It's such a fun, awesome, and I don't mean to say fun like, you know, oh, the Bible's fun, you know, like I'm not like making light of it, but it is. It's just such an awesome, like when you, I mean, this is maybe the greatest thing I love about growing in the Lord. Is that as you grow in the Lord and you read his word, what he does is he will reveal more and more of his character to you. You start looking at the word, what happens is, and you might not be there yet, but you just hang on and keep going and it'll happen. But you'll look at the word and you'll see God's character in it. It's like, and then what happens is it's kind of like, you know, I can stand up here and, most people probably that I preach in front of will only really know me from what they see mostly here, you know, and that's just the way that it goes, and that's the way with anybody. But when you get into that, it's kind of like a movie star or something like that, you know, like you can see them. In fact, I'll tell this story, praise the Lord. I used to do security at times for the Reglene Theater in Jamestown. And they would, there was a time when, especially down when they were doing the Luffy Fests. It's Lucy, but I always called it Luffy Fest because there were a bunch of Luffies that came. But the Luffy Fest, anyways, we'd go down there and they would have different, they'd bring in different famous people, you know. And also brought in other famous people too, like they brought in Gallagher, if you remember Gallagher. And I remember one recently. It almost ruined me, actually. It was Wheezy Jefferson. You know, they brought her in once, and I don't even know her real name, but she was called Wheezy. So everybody knows her, Wheezy Jefferson. And if you don't, well, you're just too young. But they brought her in and other. But one of the things I learned is that when they bring these in and you can get around them a little bit, especially in the form of security, you're kind of there behind the scenes. So you kind of get an understanding about them that is different than what the public sees. And one of the things that I learned is that most famous people that I've met are not nice people. That they are real nice to people, like face to face. But when they're behind the scenes, those same exact people, not I shouldn't say most, the ones I've met, I should make sure I clarified that. But they're like mean and nasty about them. and mean and nasty to you. Like they told me, one in particular, they said, you have to follow them all the time, but don't get too close to them, but don't be too far away. Because if they need you, you need to be there, but they don't want you too close to them because you're just, Praise the Lord. But, you know, that's the way people, the reason I brought that up is because behind the scenes you get to see things. Well, that's what the Bible is. It's kind of a behind the scenes of God. And it opens as we embrace the word, as we go to the word, we start, all of a sudden you'll start seeing a character. Actually, you'll start hearing God's voice speak to you in the word. Like you'll be reading it. Like one time I remember I was sitting on my couch, actually in your house, praise the Lord. I was sitting on my couch in her house. That's weird, huh? Praise the Lord. She lives where we used to live. Praise the Lord. But I was sitting on my couch there and I was reading scripture and all of a sudden the Lord, I mean, it was like I heard, my ears opened and I heard him as I was reading. I heard him speaking it to me, knowing that he was saying it to me. Praise the Lord. And see, you'll get to know the personality of God and you'll see it. And there'll be times where it'll make you fearful. And there's times where it'll make you, like, you'll laugh or you'll chuckle because you'll see that God has a sense of humor. Or there'll be times where you see, like, just God's blessing. It'll just make you fall in love with him even more, you know. And so this is our God, and it's such a wonderful thing. Amen. Isaiah 1, verses 18 through 20. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. I love that. Come now and let us reason together. You know, this is what coming to God should be. God wants fellowship with his children. Fellowship with his children. He doesn't just want it to be. He wants fellowship. He wants you to know him that way. Amen? Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and you rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. Praise God. What we see here in these scriptures, and God showed me this, maybe I never saw it this way before, but what God showed me in these scriptures is that even in our imperfection, he'll clean us up. All he wants is willingness and obedience. He's not asking for you to be perfect. He's not asking for you to be able. He's saying willing obedience. You know, the willingness, sometimes we fight the willingness, but we'll still do it. That's what God's looking for. He understands it's going to be hard on your flesh. Praise the Lord sometimes. But he also wants, not praise the Lord sometimes. Sometimes I say things out of order, but that's just part of the way I do things. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Sometimes he will, he'll know that it's not going to be hard, easy on our flesh, and he'll recognize that. He knows, like, sometimes you know when you direct somebody to do something that it's not going to be easy for them to do, but it's necessary for them to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. The cure for imperfection is willingness and obedience. See, imperfection, this is what's so great about the Lord Jesus coming to pay the price for us so we don't have to, so now we have contact and connection with heaven. And what this does is you're not perfect. You're still going to miss it. But God doesn't pass judgment on that. What God does is say, well, they're willing and obedient, and they have the blood of Christ that's covering them. So I'm going to pour into their life anyways. I'm going to open those doors anyways. And I've seen it. I have seen God. I've seen people who don't deserve it have God come and say, this is open to you now. Yeah, that's exactly what he did for me. I would not be standing here if the Lord couldn't have fixed my issues. If he couldn't have overlooked my issues, I should say. If he couldn't have used me, despite the fact that I was imperfect, and every week, week after week after week, for nearly 7 years now. In ministry, in this form. And I believe it'll continue. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, that's the point that I'm trying to make, is that regardless of where we start, it doesn't matter. If we just have that willingness and obedience to follow God, if we just keep going to him and saying, Lord, and you may go to him for a while. It may be even a couple years. You'll go to him and you'll be like, Lord, I'm still offering this to you. I know you haven't used it yet, but I'm still offering. God's patient. And you need to be patient. But the truth is when those doors start opening, you're not going to be able to stop all that he wants to do. And there will be times where they'll test you. There'll be times where they'll try you. There'll be times where you won't want to. But as you're willing and obedient, as you do it, God still will cause that little plant to grow behind you, to shade you. He'll cause the food to come. He'll cause the things that bless you to be around you. And if you continue in that, praise the Lord, all it'll do is increase. Amen? So follow the Lord. Follow what he has for you. Get stirred and excited. And even when it's hard, rejoice in God. Rejoice in the Lord. Look to heaven and say, Father, I'm just so thankful that you saw fit to bless me. And know this. Again, every direction of God, there's blessing that's attached to being obedient. The willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. They're not just going to get fed. They're going to eat the good of the land. That means that with every opportunity that God gives you, even though it's hard on your flesh, the thing that comes after is a bigger blessing than the opposition that you pay for today. Amen? So that's why the devil wants to keep you out of it. So don't listen to him. Rejoice in the Lord. And let God open those doors to your life. And watch the blessing of the Lord flow. Amen?